May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 684. Of cistern waters art thou sick, and loath the mire they bring. Then hither stretch thy thirsty neck, and taste a living spring. Hymn 684.
Thank you. May the Lord open our eyes as we read from his word this morning. Two portions of scripture, and firstly, turn with me to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 22 to 33. Matthew's gospel, chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 22 to 33. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now we'll turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we'll read the first 19 verses. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read the first 19 verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated or taken up to heaven so that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may we each be given that much needed help to pray. Oh, most holy, almighty, ever gracious, long suffering Lord God, it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. It is by thy grace that we have strength in body and mind to assemble together this morning. It is, Lord, by thy goodness that we have not been left to descend into the depths of depravity that we each will do, left to ourselves. We have been spared. We have been kept. We have been hedged in. We have been shepherded. And here we are, each of us, on this thy day, assembled in thy house. Yet, Lord, what is the house to me, unless the master I shall see? Lord, we come, each of us in great need, whether we know it or not. For, Lord, we have to prove that without thee we can do nothing, nothing that is good in thy sight. Yet, Lord, It is all thy work. Thou art still working in the midst of thy people here. We have seen the hand of Almighty God touching one and another through the preached word. And so, Lord, we praise thee for thy continued goodness. And as we have a place to gather in, as we have somewhere to shelter from the wind and the rain and the stormy weather, Lord, may we not take even these things for granted, that we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, day by day we are surrounded by thy goodness. We have been brought through another week of our short lives. And we have been brought through many dangers, especially in this weather we have experienced this week. Yet, Lord, we come and we so often forget and let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. So this morning, Lord, may we come in that right frame of mind, that we may be laid low, knowing that we are so undeserving of the least of thy goodness, and yet, Lord, that thou art lifted up, and we may praise thee for thy goodness. And as we assemble this morning, Lord, we pray that thou wilt truly give unto each one here that real spirit of prayer. May there be that hungering and that thirsting after righteousness. May there be, as we have just been singing, those coming that are thirsty. For whoe'er can truly say, I thirst, may come and take his fill. 'Tis free for sinners vile and lost. 'Tis God who works the will. O Lord, so do work this day the will of the people here, that they may come thirsting, seeking, asking and knocking. That, Lord, today in this thy house, there may be that given to one and another, which is so needful. Yet, Lord, it is thy work for which we praise thee. For if anything can come of any profit from man standing in this place, it is not the man, for they are but the vessel. So, Lord, do pour in this morning, that we may be able to pour out. For, Lord, do grant unto the people here that which they need today. For they come, Lord, and we often come thinking we know what we need. But, Lord, thou art far wiser than we are. For thou knowest what will be before us in the coming week. Thou knowest what, Lord, we may be brought into. So, Lord, do grant unto each one that which they truly need. Lord, whether it is a word of correction, a word of encouragement, whether it may be a word of confirmation, whether it may be, Lord, whatever is needed in the pathway of one and another, through the preached word, Lord, may that need be met, that we may be laid low and Christ lifted high, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we come confessing our sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in this past week, we each must look back as our eyes are opened to confess our foolishness, our sinfulness, our weakness. We have to cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? Yet, Lord, thou canst deliver. Thou canst break the snares. Thou canst free those in bondage. So, Lord, may it be so today, that one and another may be freed by thy word. But, Lord, thou, we know thy word says that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, do shed thy forgiving love into the hearts of one and another. Lord, do lay thy righteousness, clothe us in that righteousness. Lord, that we may trust and have that solid, certain hope that it will be well with us. It is well with us and will be well when called to die. So, Lord, come into our midst this morning, that we may truly worship. We pray for the children and the little ones in our midst this morning. Lord, we are thankful for those that have been born in recent months. Lord, we pray that they'll be brought up in that right way. Give the parents that wisdom. And with the children also, Lord, as they may go to school and be confronted with many issues, or whether they are educated at home too, Lord, and need that help in all that they do. Lord, do grant that presence and that tender love in their hearts unto thee while they are yet young. And Lord, we would pray for those young people here as well today. Lord, we are thankful to see them here. Do ever keep them, we pray, to thy house. Not that they may rest contented in just being in the house of God. Not that they may rest upon a tradition and a mere formality of worship. But that as they are kept to attend, that work of grace may be begun and continued in their hearts, drawing them unto thee. Help them in the steps that they have to take, in their education, their employment, their further education, whatever it may be, Lord. Open and close those doors for them, that they may clearly see the way before them. Lord, we pray for parents. Give much wisdom as they try and bring up their children in the right way. Lord, we pray that we may be given that love to our children, and that they may see that where we may restrict them from this and from that, it is only because it is according to thy word. It is only because we love them for the truth's sake. And Lord, may it be that another generation may be raised up from the young people here to serve thee. And Lord, those in business, those in employment, those with much to occupy them day by day, those mothers that care for the children at home, do graciously be with them each and help them. We will pray for those also, for one reason or another, maybe those who are unmarried or those who are married and unable to have children. Lord, we pray for them too, and the difficulties they may find at times, Lord, in the pathway that thou hast seen fit to lead them in. Lord, may we truly and they truly see that it is thy will, and that, Lord, thou hast given them that pathway for a reason. And Lord, may we each be truly able to serve thee in thy house in the way that thou hast directed. We pray for those older in years here today, those who feel the natural faculties in the body and mind beginning to fail, those who have passed those 80 years, those who know it cannot be many more decades or years or maybe months before they are taken from time to eternity. O Lord, may they be given those eyes of faith to look up. May they be given those eyes of faith to know that though their life goes through many changes, thy love changes not. May their faith be built on that sure and certain foundation. And Lord, that they may have that blessedness in those latter years. We pray for the deacon here in his bereavement. Oh Lord, those weeks, those months have now passed, and yet there is still that hole in his life. Lord, it can never be filled. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near unto him, comfort him, give him that thankful heart for those many years of happy married life together, and to see that now his loved one is in glory, and Lord, that she cannot and we cannot wish her back. But we would also remember the children and the grandchildren with that great loss. Lord, we pray, do comfort them too, for it is a great loss indeed. But Lord, may there be a sweetness in it, and may the death of one prove to be the life of another. But Lord, this whole church has lost one dear praying soul, and we pray that others may be added to the church here, that there may be a great strengthening of this house of truth, that, Lord, many may be brought into the congregation too. Lord, that in this village there may be those that are constrained to come and join with them here. That, Lord, we and the people of this village and the surrounding villages may be that right example as they leave this place of worship. And that those opportunities may be given throughout the week to profess to those who we work with, those whom we meet, that we trust in the finished work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That we may not be ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom our hopes of heaven depend. So, Lord, knit this place together by thy love. Bind them, Lord, we pray. May they be able to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We pray for the deacons here with all their many, many responsibilities. Lord, and we pray for any others and all the others that do much to care for this place of worship. Lord, we truly beg that thy hand will be seen in this cause of truth. Lord, do raise up for them, if it be thy will, a pastor over them, to shepherd them and to care for the flock, as thy word lays before us. And Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for up and down this land, in our denomination and in any places where thy word is faithfully preached and thy name reverently respected. May there be a godly increase. May more ministers be sent out to preach the word. Lord, may there be a strengthening of Zion throughout this land yet. For we have been brought through many trials. There have been that great virus which has swept through the land in these past 2 years. We are thankful for thy safekeeping over so many. And yet, Lord, the nation's health has been struck. Yet we see no turning again unto thee. And now we see the possibility of those of inflation and the country's wealth being hit and our individual wealth being hit. Lord, may it turn our nation again unto thee. And Lord, we see the uncertainty throughout the nations of the earth. Rumours of war and great concerns in the eastern parts of Europe and Russia, and what may yet come there, Lord, we know not. Yet, Lord, we know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. May that, Lord, be our comfort. May that be our strength, that thou art in control. Everything that must come individually, nationally and internationally is all ordered by thee. Lord, that's our hope. That's our strength. Lord, may we pray with thy disciples. Lord, increase our faith. So, Lord, we come unto thee now, pleading for that help. We pray for the cause at home at Heathfield today. Do bless them. Be with thy servant Robert Field as he labours to them today. Lord, may it truly be a good day in thy house. And, Lord, may it be so here too. Be with the people, Lord. Open the ears, remove all distracting thoughts. Prepare the hearts to receive the word, that it may bring forth fruit. Empty this poor man, Lord, of all that is of myself. Pour in thy precious word, that we may pour it out, so that nothing may mar thy precious truths. Give us strength, Lord. Apply thy word with power. Stir thy spirit up within us, Lord. For it is Paul that planteth, Apollos that waters, but it is God alone that giveth the increase. Give the increase today, Lord, we beg, that we may not go home empty today. Come with power, Lord, we beg, into our midst. Come down, Lord, now, truly we pray. Help us as we pray, read, preach and sing in all aspects of our worship, Lord. Be in it, Lord, we truly beg. Forgive all that we have asked amiss, that which we have forgotten to pray for in our great weakness, Lord. May it have been prayed for by those before us, and our prayers be a united prayer unto thee. For we ask all things in and through thy precious name, dear Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks, and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe, then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
Thank you.
complete need of the Lord to help each one of us this morning, both in preaching and in hearing. I'd ask you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, and the last part of verse 31. But I'll reread from verse 29. But we'll take for our text Matthew chapter 14 and the last part of verse 31. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? One thing that I can guarantee this morning is that there will be one or another, or indeed maybe all of you, that are in some way fearful and doubting. For if ever we have experienced anything of true faith, we will have also known a little of doubt. Because wherever the Lord begins that work within his people, the devil will not be far behind, sowing those seeds of unbelief, those seeds of doubt, those seeds of distrust in the hearts of his people. It seemed when Jesus was on this earth, nearly every time he met someone, he had to issue to them that command or that comforting word of "fear not." Because we are weak. Our faith is imperfect. We are sinful. And we cannot love the Lord as we should and as we would. And what a comfort to me it was that we just sung that hymn. Maybe you sung that hymn from your heart this morning. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart. Well, may we, through the preached word today, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart and change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently will see. Thou hast little cause to grieve. Though afflicted, tempest-tossed, comfortless a while thou art, do not think thou canst be lost. Thou art graven on my heart. All thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. Faith, unbelief, doubt, and fear, it's in all of us. But here this morning we have this account of Peter. We have Jesus sending the disciples away in that boat to go from one side of the sea to the other. The wind funneled down through the mountains as it often did. And the wind, we read, was contrary. It was against them. They wanted to go one way and the wind was in their face. And they were making no progress. Maybe that's how you feel to be this morning, in your life, in your spiritual life, or maybe providentially. You're battling, and yet the wind is in your face, and you seem to be making no progress. The Lord knew that those disciples would have the wind in their face. The Lord knew that that great storm would blow up and cause them great fear. And the Lord knows too, if it's the case with you this morning, that that wind would blow up in your life, that that fear and unbelief would come into your heart for a reason. And may the Lord help us to look at the reason and the necessity of these winds and these storms in our lives. Our faith needs strengthening. We read in Hebrews, didn't we? Those words there in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The importance of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible. And yet, in Ephesians 2, verse 8, we read that faith is the gift of God. So, we could say, couldn't we? If faith, it is impossible to please God without faith, and yet faith is the gift of God, why doesn't He just give us all more faith? Why do we ever brought to these points of unbelief and doubt and fear? Well, I'll tell you one reason. And it was the reason that Peter experienced this great trouble. He needed to know and be reminded again where that faith comes from. Because left to ourselves, sadly, we can think that it is something within us that bubbles up within us that is good and righteous and virtuous. And the Lord must bring us down again to that point where we have to cry out, Lord, save me. So that we know we have no ability and nothing in and of ourselves, which is of any good. Now I will give you one example. Last Saturday, in the Lord's goodness, I had a baptizing service to take. Before the service, in the pulpit, I wrestled greatly with the Lord in prayer on my knees, that He would truly help me through that service. And He did. I did feel that liberty. I did feel that strength. And you know, I walked down the pulpit at the end of the sermon to come round to the pool. And you know what I thought? I have been helped. But do you know what I should have done? I should have gone into the vestry. I should have fallen on my knees. And I should have thanked the Lord that I had been helped. And yet it was me. I had been helped, I thought. And I did not give the glory to God. So the Lord taught me that every word that comes forth from my mouth, I am dependent upon His goodness. I took that dear young lady down into the water. And I had one sentence to say. On profession of your faith, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yet as I walked down those steps, I had nothing to say. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't remember what to say. It may have only been 1 second, a few seconds, I don't know. But at that point, I was stripped of all my strength. I couldn't say a word. I didn't know what to say. I began to sink. I had to cry, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Those words came flooding in, and no one would have noticed. We need to be taught. We need to be brought low. We need to be laid in that position where we are dependent for everything upon the Lord. Or else we'll be worshipping ourselves and not him. There is that hymn, isn't there? Number 315. Why through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason. Yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. Could we see how all is right, where were room for credence or belief? But by faith, and not by sight, Christians yield obedience. We go through these difficulties to teach us, to instruct us, to keep us wholly dependent upon the Lord. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So let us now for a little while try and consider this word faith. O thou of little faith. Faith. Really, we could say, O thou of little trust, or O thou of little conviction, wherefore didst thou doubt? We all have faith in certain things. As we came to chapel this morning, maybe we drove here, I had that faith that as I put that key in the ignition and turned it, the engine would start. Yet it may not have done. We have that faith that as we go into a shop and we purchase this and purchase that and hand over a rectangle of plastic, that the shopkeeper will accept that as payment for the goods. But it might not work. It might be blocked. We have that faith that if we have done a month's work, or at the end of the month, you will get your pension or your wages from your employer. We have that faith that we'll be rewarded for that which we have done. We each have a certain amount of trust or belief or conviction in something or another. But do we trust God? Do we believe him? Or not? Can we say, O thou of little faith? Or with us is it, O thou of no faith? You know, we read, didn't we, that portion together in Hebrews chapter 11. And how instructive that portion is to us. And you know, the reformers years back, they used to say, they used to treat faith as having three parts, and I cannot remember what they are. It is some Latin name, but it was basically this. There must be a knowledge. To have faith in something, there must be a knowledge. You must know something. But that's not enough. The majority of the people in Swavesey will know something about the Bible, will know something about the Word of God, will know something about the birth and the death of Jesus Christ. Knowledge is not enough. Secondly, the second point is conviction, to know that it is true. Now there are many in this village who will say, it's not true, it's a myth, it's a story. But there will be some, and there may be some even here this morning, who will be convicted, will know that it is true. But that's not enough either. Because we read that word, don't we, in James 2 verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But true, real faith must have this third point. And this third point is trust. Is trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We may, at various points in our life, have those illnesses or diseases or whatever it may be. The medical professionals may say to you, you need to undertake this course of treatment or take that medicine. Do we do so? If we do, we have that trust in them. We believe that what they say is right, is good, is true. And this, in a simple way, is faith. Faith leads to action. Faith leads to trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, and that is an important statement in that first verse of Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance or ground or confidence of things hoped for. And this is where we need to be careful with our changing language that we have. For in the Bible, when the word hope is used, it is fixed on something solid and unchangeable. We use the word hope and may have used the word hope in the windy weather that we have had in the past few days. I hope that tree isn't going to blow down. I hope my fence is going to stand upright. But you have no real substantial evidence that that fence or that tree will stay upright. But what about biblical hope? What about hope that is fixed on an all-powerful, ever-present, never-changing God? There's substance there. There's evidence there. There's solid hope there. Because God changes not. And that is how all those dear ones in that 11th chapter of Hebrews did as the Lord commanded, because they had that trust that God would be with them. But dear friends, maybe you say, well, here lies my problem this morning. I wish I had that faith to trust God. I wish that I didn't have these doubts and these fears. Not everyone in like degree the Spirit of God receives. The Christian often cannot see his faith and yet believes. So gentle sometimes is the flame that if we take not heed, we may unkindly quench the same. We may, my friends, indeed. To go back to where we started, as faith is a gift of God, as repentance is a gift of God, as all of God's graces are gifts, he will give them in measure, as they are needed and when they are needed. to some of you. You may be very pensive. You may be very doubting. You may be very fearful. You may look upon others and you may say, oh, I wish I had that person's faith. I wish I had that person's conviction. I wish I had a work of repentance like them. Don't judge your spiritual journey by other people. Don't look and read biographies of godly men and women and say, oh, I cannot be a child of God because I haven't known that. I can come so far in that pathway, but that's where I stop. Maybe I'm not a child of God. Do you see what you're doing? Do you see yourself like Peter? Because you may have felt you had a little faith. You may have taken that step of faith over the side of the boat. You may have been looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But the wind blew. The storm clouds gathered. Your eyes, they were looking up unto Christ. But where are they now? They're downwards. They are looking down. They are looking at everything around about. They are looking at you. They are looking at your troubles and your trials. And they are not fixed upon the Lord. And those godly men in Hebrews 11 that we read of, that's where their eyes were fixed, hoping, trusting in their God. We think of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Do you ever consider what Noah would have gone through? Noah, well, if he was anything like me, would have doubted. He would, if he was like me, have said, why am I building a boat, a huge boat, in the middle of a desert? Noah, if he was like me, would have said, I might be able to start this thing, but I'm going to run out of wood or nails or some other material I need. Noah, if he was like me, when those round about him would have came up and laughed at what he was doing, maybe he would have slunk away and stopped. Noah was given an impossible task. Without faith, but by faith, Noah did what he did. By faith, Noah saved his house. By faith, Noah managed to walk in that pathway of obedience which the Lord had commanded him. The same with Abraham, isn't it? And in that verse 8 in chapter 11, and please note in this verse, the linking between faith, again, and obedience. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And yet I fear there are many in our churches who the Lord has spoken to go out and to journey in faith. That spiritual journey, and yet they say, as it were, I can't. I don't know where I'm going. I cannot take that step. I cannot go on that journey because I don't know the destination. By faith, Abraham went. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know. He didn't know where the Lord would lead him. But he was given that faith, that God-given faith to obey, to obey, to obey. And he walked on, he journeyed on through much difficulty as God helped him every step of the way. Didn't mean he didn't have difficulties. Didn't mean he was brought to those points of almost despair. It didn't mean he didn't need further teaching. It didn't mean that he didn't have to go through that place where he would take, almost take, the life of his son. The Lord taught him again and again and again and again that he was completely dependent upon his God. And yet again and again and again, his God did not fail him. And my promise to you is that if you've known a little bit of God-given faith, your God will not fail you either. He cannot, he will not. Nothing can stop his work. You know, we read, don't we, in Romans chapter 4, I believe it is, that Abraham was justified by his faith. We read there, those words, that's what I was thinking of, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He believed in hope. He trusted in God. He looked, and to his natural inclination, he would have sunk. But, as we read, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So we have considered a little of faith and those that went by faith. But let us now consider a little of doubt and what causes us to doubt. But firstly, Peter had a little faith. And we are told that if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we'll be able to say to this mountain, move, and to that mountain, move, and so on. This is the point, dear friends. The strength of our faith is not the quality of it. It's not the quantity of it. It's not the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of our faith. The strength of our faith is the object of our faith. The strength of our faith is Christ Jesus. And whenever we are like Peter, surrounded by the swirling, raging tempests in providence or in grace, we need to be given those eyes to look to Christ, to look to a suffering Christ, to look to a dying Christ, to look to a dead Christ, to look to a buried Christ, to look to a risen Christ, to look to a resurrected Christ, to look to an ascended Christ, to look to an interceding Christ, to look and live, to look and draw strength. But we doubt. We doubt. And one of the reasons I believe the Lord does give us those doubts and those fears is to keep us truly longing for that heavenly land where all doubts and fears and unbelief will be forever removed, so that we have to sing, "This world is not my home." To prove that this world is not our home, to prove that it is a wilderness to us, to prove that we are so dependent upon Him. You may doubt that you are too sinful. You may doubt and say, "Well, I am the greatest of all sinners that there has ever been." Well, that's how the Apostle Paul felt. That's how I feel. And that's how you may well be led to feel. And you may feel your sins to be a great mountain, but Almighty God sees them to be an even greater mountain. Yeah, that doesn't cancel out His mercy. Because God is omnipotent. God has the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sinner, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. There is no sinner too great. You may doubt that, "Oh, I'm too great a sinner." No, there is none too great. You may doubt and say, "Well, I just don't have what other people have. I feel to be so cold in prayer. I had those times where I was at such a love to Christ and felt so drawn to Him all the time and could commune with Him in prayer and love to read the Word of God. And now, these past years or decades, whatever it may be, I feel dead and cold and hard." Maybe that's the case. Our life through many changes goes, but His love, no variation knows. What are you doing? Do you see it again? You're looking at you. You're not looking to Christ. That's what Peter was doing, looking at himself and not looking to Christ. You may fear, you may doubt and say, "Well, maybe I will fall at the end. Maybe I won't persevere to the end of time. I might be able, I've had a little faith for a week or a month or a year. But till the end of my days, I don't think I can." You may doubt. Look to Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That which He has begun, He will and must continue. Nothing can stop His powerful arm. He will teach us. He will make us dependent upon Him. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But as time is going, there is one last point that I would like to make. And it is at the start of verse 29. "And He said, come." The Lord instructed Peter to step out of that boat and to walk by faith. Has the Lord commanded you to do something by faith? "And He said, come." We sung that first hymn, didn't we? Number 684. And in there we read, didn't we? "Whoe'er can truly say, I thirst, may come and take his fill. 'Tis free for sinners, vile and lost. 'Tis God who works the will." Has the Lord spoken to you that word to say come? Has he spoken that word as we read in John chapter 7? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you a poor thirsty soul this morning? Has the Lord said those words to you? Come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And yet, dear friends, I fear there are many who get that the wrong way round. They think that I must have that rest, then I can come to Christ. Look at Peter here. The Lord said, come. Peter obeyed. The wind was boisterous. He was afraid. He cried, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The Lord said, come. And where was that rest? In the arms of Jesus, when he stretched forth his hand and caught him. The pilgrim's journey is a walk of faith. The pilgrim's journey, as with Abraham and as with Noah and with all the other faithful in Hebrews 11, is a walk of faith. And yet, so often, our eyes are down and not up. I often quote those lines in Hymn 781 because that's what I need to do more. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. Every work that thou must do, will thy gracious Saviour for thee work, and in thee too, of his special favour. Oh, may the Lord lift our eyes up more from all that is around about us and all that is within us to one that changes not. I remember when I was in my early years of employment, and we did at various points work at great heights, probably twice the height of this chapel or higher in various access equipment. And when I first started that work, I remember the older chap that I was working with saying to me, he said, if you are concerned of heights, just look up. If you look up, you will not see everything that is below you. And so it is spiritually. If we look up, we see strength. If we look up, we see one that is almighty. If we look down, we see great depths. We see uncertainty. We see trouble. May our eyes be ever lifted up. So wherever you are this morning, in providence or in grace, maybe the Lord is causing you to be in boisterous winds. But there are those words in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 for you, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith may be tried to that point where you feel you have none left, but it's precious in the eyes of Almighty God, for it is He that has given it to you. It is He that will maintain you. It is He that will continue. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Thou, Lord, wilt carry on and perfectly perform the work thou hast begun in me, a sinful worm. Midst all my fear and sin and woe, thy Spirit will not, cannot, must not let me go. The bowels of thy grace at first did freely move. I still shall see thy face and feel that God is love. My soul into thy arms I cast. I trust I shall be saved at last. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Look up, dear soul, look up. I need it, you need it. May the Lord draw our eyes heavenward. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Tim Parrish will preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day, when he also hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and distribute the prizes. Our closing hymn is 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, Day star in my heart appear. Hymn 726.
Oh dear Lord, do apply that with word with power to the hearts of one and another. Oh, we doubt and we fear. And only thou canst draw our eyes unto thee. May our cry be with thy disciples, Lord, increase our faith. So bless that which has been of thee, and forgive that which has been of myself. May something remain, Lord, we beg, that thou wilt have all the glory. Take us now in peace and safety, Lord, we pray, and be with us each again this afternoon and this evening that may gather. And Lord, do apply, we pray, with real power, thy word, for it is thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you each. Amen.